Fizdale Aftermath everywhere. The world talking about the Grizzly coach rant. We'll discuss what happened today and start to take a little look ahead to Game 3. Practice for the Grizzlies will occur later on this afternoon. All of that still coming your way. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
If you can't be good, at least be memorable. That was the old saying a long time ago, and it's kind of fit David Fizdale and the Grizzlies, at least, so far in this series. Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you, and the Grizzlies have put together, really, if you're just being honest, 2 out of 8 really good quarters so far this series. Probably another 2 that were pretty okay, somewhere in the middle, mediocre, and the other 4 have been pretty putrid. And so, you know, by no stretch could you really call this a good series so far for the Grizzlies. They've lost by double digits. They've lost 10 straight playoff games to the Spurs, most of them by double digits. And it has been a pretty dominant performance by San Antonio so far. So why is everybody talking about David Fizdale? Well, you know why. You know why. The rant was incredible. I don't have to replay it for you because I'm sure you've heard it 1,000 times. You probably could hear it 1,000 more. It's been remixed by not only me, but others. It's been cut into Independence Day by the folks over at The Ringer. It's been scrutinized by the Dunked On podcast in their own inimitable way of very by the books, data driven journalism, which I can appreciate. It's been lauded, praised by athletes, not just in basketball, but in other sports too. And David Fizdale has earned himself a lot of fans with this rant and has really justified and enhanced his standing with a lot of Grizzly fans in the same way. Had that rant not been there, what would the status of David Fizdale be with Grizzly fans? That is a thornier question, considering the way the series has gone so far. But you can't help but admire the guy's passion. You can't help but appreciate the commitment that he shows. And I can assure you that that's legit. That's real stuff from him. You know, having spoken, you know, quite a bit to David Fizdale over the course of the season, on the record and off the record and just in all kinds of different settings, that's the kind of guy he is, man. He gets fired up about stuff and he gets going. He gets passionate. He's into it. He gets, you know, he can get going. Once he gets kind of amped up and starts, you know, feeling it, he really will get after it. And that's legit. That's no, that's not a put on for the cameras. So I recognize that immediately watching that rant because I've heard that before. And I think, you know, folks that have covered the team have too. He's that kind of a guy. So you could see why players, you know, and why he's got a lot of players, including those veterans in Miami and others, that will go to bat for him. Because he certainly has gone to bat for them in a way that is going to cost him a good bit of money. You know, no fine was announced on Tuesday, and I was a little surprised by that. Honestly, I expected that would have happened. But I guess the NBA wants to take a little more time. But I would think by the end of the day today, maybe even by the time you hear this, that the official announcement is going to come out. I've been looking through some of the old fines to try to figure out how much David Fizdale is going to be paying. You can start at $25,000, but it's gonna be more than that. I would say, you know, $35,000 is the ballpark where you would start, but probably this could get to $50,000. You know, there have been a few 50s in the past. Pat Riley was probably the most notable one because of a memorable tirade that he had against Steve Javy, in which he accused Steve Javy of having conspiracy against him and all kinds of stuff. This was back probably 15 years ago. And he got docked 50 grand. Byron Scott took a $35,000 hit for some comments that he made when he was the Cavs coach back in 2010, and stuff that was probably a little more innocuous, honestly, than what David Fizdale said. So I'm guessing Fizdale's stuff is going to come in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 grand. And, you know, it's I would say it's unlikely that anything more than that happens. But if the NBA were to choose to view Fizdale's comments about being unprofessional or trying to rook us as an attempt to influence the officials or an insinuation that the game is fixed, then, you know, they could go for a stiffer punishment, maybe even rising to the level of a suspension. Now, I would say that's highly unlikely. That would require a really, really stern view of things. The only suspension I can remember was, you know, when Mike Budenholzer made physical contact with a ref. You know, that kind of stuff will get you suspended. I don't think this would. I bring up the fact that some people are talking really about the proliferation of shirts that we have seen. As you know, this is a town of shirts. People love making shirts. People love buying shirts. People whip those babies up as quickly as they possibly can. We happen to have some great folks at GrizzEssentials.com who make some of the finest shirts that you can get out there. Tremendous. Love the guys at GrizzEssentials.com. But you see, the Grizzlies themselves are trying to cash in on this thing, and they've got a Take That for Data shirt that's that they've got on the horizon. They were posting pictures of it, and I assume that they'll be on sale probably tomorrow at FedEx Forum, I would guess, if they can crank those printing presses out quickly enough. And I can tell you that you can get those t-shirts printed real, real fast, so that shouldn't be a problem for them. But I don't think you'll see, they're not going to rook us shirts, because I don't think that the Grizzlies could officially endorse that kind of insinuation. And that's what I mean when I say if the NBA chose to interpret it that way, then that could be even more problematic for David Fizdale, and he could face a record fine. But I think you're probably looking at 50, maybe 40 if you're lucky. Now, how about the folks at ServiceMaster, though? A company that has been big in Memphis for a long, long time. Make their headquarters in Memphis. In fact, they're moving downtown, just a stone's throw away from FedEx Forum. ServiceMaster had the bright idea to kind of use this as an endorsement possibility, and they have offered to pay whatever fine that David Fizdale is given, that they stand behind David Fizdale. And it's a very, very smart bit of marketing. So kudos to them for that, because, you know, if it costs them 50 grand, then, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket for what the promotion that they're going to get out of the deal. Now, I don't know about whether they could actually, you know, pay it for him. Would the NBA allow that? I don't know. I don't think they would. They are generally sticklers about the money actually coming from the source that it needs to. They've banned, you know, teams reimbursing employees, you know, players, or, you know, team officials, things like that. They've banned that sort of thing. Whether they would ban, GoFundMes, as somebody started a GoFundMe for Fizdale's fine, or whether they would ban ServiceMaster from reimbursing Fizdale in some way for that, or writing him a check. I don't know. I don't know how that would work. It probably would have to be a reimbursement of Fizdale, but there's no way they could stop him from doing that. There's no way they could stop, you know, them from firing off a $50,000 check if that's what the fine ends up being. And some have asked, the fine goes to, it's split actually, and it does go to charity. Half of it goes to the National Basketball Players Association, their foundation. They have a trust that is there to help retired players, to also help with medical expenses and to help with educational expenses for players. Also, you know, players going back to get their degrees, stuff like that. That's where the trust goes to, health issues, all kinds of things. And then the other half goes to NBA Cares and their charities, including UNICEF and Boys and Girls Clubs of America and some others that are involved. So the money goes to charitable causes that have been set up and contractually agreed upon in the collective bargaining agreement. So at least the money that Fizdale pays, when he pays it, is going to go to a good place. It's just how much. You know, like I said, I'm going to start at 40 and assume that it's going to be probably a little more than that. I'm thinking 50 is a pretty safe bet. You know, 25 is where people start, but I think that 50 is kind of where you're going to end up when this thing is all over, because those were some incendiary comments that I think needed to be made. He fired up everyone, including his own team. The fans will be completely insane tomorrow night. It will be a cauldron for the officials. That was the point, and that's why he did it. So that mission was accomplished. But as we'll talk about momentarily, the real deal is the Grizzlies just have to play better. As a lot of you probably did, I went back and watched a lot of the incidents that were involved in Game 2, the controversial stuff in particular. And, I don't know that it really matters, because a lot of this is a perception thing. The numbers are a little bit skewed, as they can sometimes be. Ultimately, I thought that Kawhi got help from the officials. Not an overwhelming amount of help, but help nonetheless. There were certainly a few plays that could have gone either way that generally tended to go his way. I felt like there were some missed calls as well on the Grizzlies too, but Kawhi definitely got a good whistle, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, 19 of 19 from the foul line, just it's its own discussion point, and he was very aggressive, and he deserved a lot of those free throws, but not 19 of them. So, yeah, I think the officials got a little carried away. But that doesn't really change the essential truth of this thing, that the Grizzlies will have to work on and practice later on today. Is, you know, they've got to score points. I mean, they just don't, the players they're putting out there, some of the lineups they're putting out there, just don't have enough actual talent. They're just not enough guys that can play, certainly at this level. And you can only get away with that for so long in the regular season. And you really cannot get away with it in the postseason, when teams can scheme for you specifically. And you see that with a team like Boston, for example, that, you know, really did a lot of tremendous things in the regular season. But when you can scheme for them individually in the postseason, then the talent that they've got isn't as overwhelming in those situations. You know, the Isaiah Thomas, you often see smaller guards. Mike Conley's another example of that. Guys that are not all that big tend to struggle in the playoffs for reasons that include, you know, the much greater rim protection, the difficulty of getting shots off against longer defenders, the potential for a whistle that isn't terribly favorable. I mean, all these things can work against you if you are a smaller player in this situation. And so, you know, when you are a team that doesn't have enough high-level talent, it really does come back to get you in the postseason when a team can scheme. And that's what San Antonio has been doing. I mean, the Grizzlies are shooting well under 40% for the series. The Grizzlies, you know, can't make a shot. They've scored 82 points in each of the first two games, made 31 baskets in each of the first two games. Same number of rebounds, same threes, same free throws, all that stuff. And they've got to, I mean, you can't win a game scoring 82 points. It is virtually impossible. And it certainly wouldn't be possible with this Spurs team right now. So that's step number one, is you got to put the lineups out there. You know, and this is where I default to the offensive end. You know, and that would mean playing Zach Randolph. You know, there's still issues defensively with Zach, but you know, he goes and gets you buckets, and you got to have somebody that can get you buckets. You got to put, you know, people on the court that have a chance to score 90 points. I mean, that 90 is not asking a lot. You look around the league in the postseason right now, and that's, I mean, it is not super duper low scoring games that you're generally seeing out there. You know, these are games that are scored pretty comparably to what we've seen in the regular season. 82 points ain't going to cut it. And in order to win a game like that, the defense would have to be so locked in for all 48 minutes. And that just seems like an impossibility with this group. They do not stay locked in for the entire game. They do not stay locked in possession to possession. That's problematic for the Grizzlies, but not nearly as much as the offensive stuff. Yeah, the Grizzlies, in spite of all the talk about, you know, fouls, not fouls, whatever, you know, right now, per Synergy Sports, the Grizzlies in the postseason are comfortably, exceedingly, very much so, the worst team in the playoffs at finishing around the basket. Just horrible. In terms of points per possession, 0.683 points per possession around the basket. This does not include post-ups, by the way. And that means the Grizzlies are shooting 34% from the field in those situations. You know, that's, you could talk about the fact that, you know, maybe they're not getting foul called, I guess. I you could see that to an extent, but that certainly doesn't explain all of it. You know, that they've had problems with this all year long. This is not a new thing. And that's killer. That is just absolutely a killer when you see those kinds of numbers. You're never going to win. In fact, the next worst team is Toronto. And while the Grizzlies shoot 34% so far in the postseason in those situations, Toronto shoots 49%. That's the second worst. They're at 1.02 points per possession. Again, the Grizzlies around the basket, 0.68. It's mind-blowing. So step number one is to figure out, you know, what you can do and finish at the basket, get in there, be hyper-aggressive, beyond belief aggressive. That's what they're going to have to do. Step two in this whole process is going to be play Mike Conley until he can't go. You have to just, you know, if you put Andrew Harrison in there and in place of Conley, make it just as quick as you possibly can. 2-3 minutes, and then boom, get out. The offense when Harrison's out there is just so bad, and you know, especially Harrison without Conley, it's really rough. And you know, the Grizzlies, Mike Conley played 37.5 minutes in game two. You know, for me, he's got to play 40, 42, 43. You know, he's got to just go as much as he possibly can. LaMarcus Aldridge did in game two for the Spurs. Kawhi Leonard did. Both played over 40 minutes in that game. Yeah, I think you can do that in the postseason, and you're going to have to do that if you're the Grizzlies because the drop-off is so severe to the bench. You know, you drop off, and it's like, I mean, it's just unbelievably bad. The talent drop-off from Conley to Harrison is, whew, it's extreme. And not the fun kind of extreme, like X Games extreme, but, you know, it's the kind of extreme where you look and fall off a cliff. So we'll talk tomorrow on the pod more about some of the adjustments that can be made after the Grizzlies practice. I'll cover that later on today, and hopefully be able to give you some sound and some reactions from all the folks at Grizzly practice, and we kind of start to turn the page and get ready for game three. And if I can find anything about the towels and all that information, then I will let you know. I know those things take a little while to get printed, so If you are expecting for game three, a take that for data or something like that kind of towel, I think it's probably going to be too soon. They are typically printed up quite a bit in advance, but the Grizzlies can, you know, last ditch kind of thing, whip them up. It just, it's probably going to be too soon of a turnaround for Thursday, maybe for Saturday though, maybe. But I wouldn't totally rule it out, but we'll see. So anyway, we'll have all of that for you coming up on the pod tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to GrizzEssentials.com for their continued sponsorship. Thanks to all of you guys for making it a part of your day. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Locked on Grizzlies.